Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We're going to pick up here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. And we will read here verse number 9, which says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now, in our last episode, we started looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about this pattern that they were. And now he's going to take this all back to the point of when he first encountered individuals who make up this local assembly. Let's go back over into the book of Acts. We'll go here to Acts chapter number 17. And we're going to see that Luke actually record the events of the Apostle Paul being in Thessalonica in this first time here. And here in Acts chapter number 17, we'll start here right at verse number 1. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them on the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you, Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So this here, this is that time frame when the Apostle Paul and those who were ministering with him went unto Thessalonica, and they were there for only a period of, and it says 3 Sabbath days, so it would give us the idea that they were only there for a 3-week span of time. And in that time frame, this is what the Apostle Paul is able to base all of the understanding that he has about the local assembly. Now, when you go through the book of Acts, you see the time that he was in Corinth or the time that he was in Ephesus, and you see that he was in those two places a lot longer than he was in Thessalonica, but he's able to take this assembly that he was only there for this short period of time, this 3 weeks, and he holds them up to say that they're a model for other individuals, for other local assemblies, and he's able to teach them information that we don't see him teaching these other assemblies. So when he's talking about this and the fact that, you know, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, that he's able to take this idea and he sees that description, and we're going to read a verse that we've read a few times during our study of 1 Thessalonians. Let's go back over to chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually talk about what it is that they did. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want to read verse number 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, He received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And by this verse, we can see how it is when he talks about, you know, entering in unto them and talks about them being this pattern of what it is that they did and how after only those 3 weeks that he's able to see them for what they are because of the fact that they took all of this information that the Apostle Paul was teaching unto them, didn't look at it as it being the Apostle Paul's words, which so many people today just try to look at and say that the Apostle Paul was teaching his own thought process, but they actually took this information, accepted it as the word of God, and because they accepted it as the word of God, they allowed it to work in them to produce the change that is needed from the word of God actually having an impact on somebody's life. And this is why they are able to be looked at as being that pattern. And that's why the Apostle Paul, when he even talks about his own life and how we should be looking at him, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we'll see here the Apostle Paul as he's going to talk about, you know, what it is that he did and how we can look at him in a certain manner. We read the very first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So the Apostle Paul, now he followed the Lord Jesus Christ by grace, through faith. He followed him in the doctrine that was given to him directly through revelation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that's how he was following him, that's exactly how we should be following him today. That's how the local assembly at Thessalonica was functioning. They were following the Apostle Paul, the words that he was teaching, because this was the word of God, and they were doing exactly what the word of God says, which is what individuals are supposed to do today. That's why you can see the Apostle Paul hold up, for example, the individual Timothy. If we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and you know, we know that 2 Timothy is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. This is what completes the word of God. And here he is sitting in prison writing unto Timothy as he's looking out and seeing all of the things that are going on. He's seeing that, you know, all those who are in Asia have turned away from the doctrine that's been, you know, given, you know, out by him. He sees individuals that he names directly in chapter number 4 who loved this present world, abandoned what the Apostle Paul was doing and teaching, and instead went on to these other cities. And by going to them, it clearly indicates that they were not following the doctrine that had been laid out. But here we have the Apostle Paul saying here, and let's read in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read here verses 10 and 11. It says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Now, we have the understanding of when it talks about the Lord delivering him, we know from passages like in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, where the information is given, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The Apostle Paul in the previous chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, lays out a number of things that happened to him as a result of ministering the word of God. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy: you've seen all of these things. You've known exactly what has gone on because I've taken this stand for the word of God. And he's telling him, you have to follow me as I followed Christ. You have to really do exactly what it is that the doctrine is laying out. And it's truly the grace of God that's going to have that impact on an individual. It's the grace of God that's going to allow an individual that, in spite of all of these circumstances that the Apostle Paul is talking about, that an individual is still going to want to spread this message, is going to want to accomplish what the Apostle Paul talks about when he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You know, we can look at things that talk about how grace works. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, when we see the Apostle Paul describe the impact that grace is supposed to have, the impact that the grace of God had on these individuals in Thessalonica that he's holding up as this pattern here in Titus chapter number 2. Let's start here, verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. But we see how in this passage that it's the grace of God. First of all, it's the grace of God that brings salvation to all men, because it's only by grace during this dispensation that salvation can occur. And we know that salvation occurs by an individual putting their trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And believing in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. But it takes on that next step of, okay, now that you're saved, the grace of God is also going to teach an individual. And it teaches an individual what it is that they're supposed to do. And it teaches an individual what they're not supposed to do. And that's, you see the Apostle Paul lay those things out in his epistles. He lays it out in the doctrine as he teaches some things. Then he talks about the practical outworking of those things. He lays out how a person is supposed to live their life. He lays out the impact that's supposed to be accomplished. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul talk about that impact here in Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to start here at verse number 8. And it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're going to stop here for a second. We're going to continue on, and we're going to read verse 10 as well. But I wanted to stop here to show that, you know, salvation is by grace through faith. There's no works that have to be done in order for a person to have salvation. However, the Apostle Paul does say what should result after a person receives salvation here in verse number 10. And he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, the use of that word should shows how it's something that, you know, while God would like for us to do that, you know, the reality is going to be that, you know, even if we never have any of those good works ever result in our life, we're still going to have that salvation. We cannot lose our salvation no matter what we do, as long as we've put our trust in the gospel. And that's such a glorious thing to truly know that we have no danger of losing our salvation. When the Apostle Paul continues to talk, and you see in many passages where he talks about the impact that is supposed to occur in our life. Let's go over to Romans chapter number 12 here, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul talk about this here. And in Romans chapter number 12, I want to read here the first two verses of the chapter. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And here we have the Apostle Paul talking about an individual having what he calls a transformation of the mind. Now, the only way that the mind can actually be transformed is by the intake of the Word of God rightly divided. And I always have to throw in that aspect of the right division of God's Word, because it's not just, reading what God's Word says and, picking any place in Scripture and saying, okay, that could apply to my life. It's having the understanding of, even though all the Bible is written, that we can look at, all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, that is true. The understanding we also have to have is that we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And having that understanding of there's portions of the Bible that are written directly to me. There are portions of the Bible that are not written directly to me for doctrine. And I have the understanding of the Scriptures that are given to me during this dispensation are those found in Romans through Philemon. It's the study and intake of those things which is going to give the renewing of the mind. Now, again, that renewing of the mind can only occur after somebody is saved, because the renewing of the mind is done by the Spirit that communicates with the Spirit that's inside of a man, teaching things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If a person's not saved, it doesn't matter how much of a thing that they can intake the Word of God, it's not going to have the impact in their life. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about that demonstration of the life that we're supposed to have. I want to go over to the book of Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 2 here. And we're going to see Paul talk about this life here. And we're going to read verse 20 of Galatians chapter number 2. And it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So the life that we're living today, it's not us. We are not the focus of things. The focus of things is the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ lives through us when we demonstrate the doctrine that's laid out in the Word of God perfectly. When we live by faith and we do all the things that God's Word says that's supposed to occur, the Lord Jesus Christ is living through us. Now, when we make mistakes, when we give in to the lust of the flesh, when we frustrate the grace of God, when we quench the Spirit, those terms that the Apostle Paul uses to describe what happens when we don't do the right thing, you know, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ living through us when we make mistakes. When we make those mistakes, that's us trying to do the right things. That's us, in a sense, telling the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got this one. I can do this without you. And when that happens, we make the mistake. We can't do it. It's Him through us. It's the doctrine of the Word of God working in our life. That's how we're functioning, as the Apostle Paul describes that position that we have over here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, when he says how it is that our life is functioning here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to start here in verse number 16. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, in this passage, we see, you know, the word reconciliation used a number of different times in this passage. We see the fact of God reconciling the world. We see this issue of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So we see some issues of God doing some things of reconciliation. And we also see this idea of, you know, and it's said both in verse 18 and in verse 19, using two different terms. One talking about that we're giving a ministry of reconciliation. The other one being that we're given the word of reconciliation. Now the idea of that word of reconciliation is the fact that the gospel has been committed to us. The ministry of reconciliation is the fact that we're supposed to be going out and teaching that message. We're to be going out and sharing that with other individuals so that way they can receive the salvation that God's word has. The Apostle Paul describes the role that we have and calls and says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that idea of being an ambassador is that we are the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet Earth. And if we're the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we should be functioning exactly the way that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to function. And we should also be saying the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to say. And that's, you know, when you look at it from the worldly perspective of an ambassador to another country, is that they're functioning as that representative, and whatever it is that they're saying, that's the word of, you know, for example, if somebody's the ambassador of the United States to France, the words are, you know, this is the United States message to France. If we're ambassadors for Christ, then we are having the words that the Lord Jesus Christ would want us to say to this world. And that's that word of reconciliation and that ministry of reconciliation that the Apostle Paul's talking about. This is exactly how this local assembly in Thessalonica was functioning. And that's why the Apostle Paul holds them up. And he continues on in this passage, and we're going to look at this in our message next week, of where he talks about how they turn to God from idols. And that's a pattern for individuals to see that, you know, if they were able to do this, and the result of it is that they were living this life that he holds up and says that this is the pattern of things, then other individuals should be able to do exactly what they did. And like I said, we'll look at that next time. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts laying out some information. We have audio files of, you know, our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday messages on Facebook Live. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a teleconference option. We have a conference coming up in the first weekend of October. We hope to have some information on our website very soon related to that. So please keep your eye out for that as well. And always, if you have any questions or comments about, you know, anything that you see at our website, anything you hear in our messages, or anything you hear in these broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.